This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
I'm Laurie Davis. I was a wireless operator in 619 Squadron, based at Strubby in Lincolnshire. I joined at Lord's Cricket Ground at 10 o'clock in the morning on the 17th of May, and found out that evening when I went to St John's Wood billet that it was the morning that 617 returned from the Dambusters raid, which brought back memories at the end of my squadron career. But like all air crew, we did our training. I was a wireless op, and eventually I found myself at Silverstone. And we went into a massive room, and we were just told that you would come out the other end as a six-man crew. And this, I was somewhat flabbergasted, but I wandered around, and coming towards me was a chap, sergeant, we were all sergeants at those days, with wings up, and we looked at one another, and I said, are you with anyone? And he said, no. We introduced ourselves. Johnny Taylor from Bristol, and we wandered round and we found a navigator, Jack Bosch. He came from Bath, so we joined up. We thought, well, we're halfway there, and then we saw a chap with his B brevet up, bomb aimer, and he was Norman Shores, a Londoner, came from Potter's Bar. So we were almost there. We thought, we only want a couple of gunners now. And we saw these two chaps coming along together. Compared with me, being just 20, they were mature men, to say the least. But probably they were only in their mid-30s. But it turned out they were both married. Joe Crossland turned out to be the mid-upper gunner. He was from Wakefield. And Tommy Clines, who was the rear gunner, he was from Warrington. So we all joined up and finished up the other end of this room with a cup of tea or coffee. And it was then that the skipper, as we called him, John Taylor, said, we'll call you Red, because at that time I had bright red hair. So the rest of my time with that enjoyable crew was I was called Red. We moved on there for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks I think, on Wellingtons, a noisy, rattling old thing. And then we went on to Syreston, on to Stirling's, again just familiarisation and that. And it was then we picked up another member of the crew, an engineer. And he came from St Helens, and I must admit that he's the one fellow that I can't recall a name all the time. And to this day, I still try to find out his surname and Christian name. Anyway, we then went on to Lancaster's and to conversion, and finished up on going to 619 Squadron in Strubby at Lincolnshire. And we did some flying around for a week, and lo and behold, we knew that to go on operations, the pilot always went with an experienced crew. And that caused a bit of sense of humour, because there was always some wit thrown in. And Johnny Taylor came back from his office one morning and said, I'm flying tonight with a crew. So we joked we'd sort out all his personal possessions and share them out if he didn't come back, because we knew that sometimes that's what happened, unfortunately. So later in the afternoon, I get a call to go to the wireless office to be told that I was flying with him. And of course, that caused more humour. And we went off, and with Flying Officer Whiteley, a senior there, and believe it or not, it was the longest trip I did of the 12 raids. We went to Dresden, 9 hours 20 minutes. And quite something in my memory to see the vastness of the fires as a first time on there, because when you finished and the pilot and bomber were doing a run up to the target about a mile and a half or 2 miles away, my job was to stand up in the Astrodome and keep a lookout above, mainly because, as I found out on the other raids, you saw other aircraft with their bomb doors open above you, left and right, so interrupting the bomb aimer who was calling to the pilot, steady, left, left, steady, left, left. I'd say, Johnny, there's one at 11 o'clock or one at 2 o'clock, and he'd try and move over to save the bombs coming down through us. But it was successful, that Dresden trip, and we came back, and we were very privileged and lucky to get through 11 more as a crew. Having experienced, pilot and I, our first raid, which was horrendous, as it's proved over the years with Dresden, we settled down to training flights and then successfully got through 11 more. One that again focuses in my mind of how lucky you are to be here today, as we went to an oil refinery called Harburg, just outside of Hamburg. And as I experienced on the Dresden raid, you flew in some 2 miles away with a straight course for the bomb aimer and the pilot. But on this occasion, all I could see over the target was a series of 10 and 15 searchlights. And we were a mile or so away, but I remember at least three aircraft were caught in the lights, hit by the barrage, and exploded into a ball, and down they went. And I can think now to myself, thinking, well, I hope they don't pick us up before we get rid of ours. But we managed to get through, drop the bombs and come out the other side. And that's the hairiest one, I would think, apart from the Dresden, the dramatic scenes of fire. But the raids were, we were lucky and successful. And as I've said, we did 11 as a crew, 12 in all. And they were great colleagues. When the European war finished, we were switched to Waddington 617. And we were involved in what they called Dodge and Exodus. And that was flying POWs, RPOWs from Italy, Naples and Bari, back to England. And we used to take 24 soldiers out, sitting in the fuselage, and fly them out, and then do a return trip. And the humorous part was, I suppose it's humorous to our age of 20, 21, or still not 21, but on the way back, they wanted to go into the mid-upper turret. So we used to say, I think we used to say, don't go round one side more than 20 times, otherwise they'll unscrew. But they loved to, and to see the patchwork quilt of the England, really, they'd go up forward by the navigator or the engineer or the bomb aimer and see that. So the joy on their faces was worth every second of those flights. Been POWs for years and came back. And then towards the end of 45, we'd been waiting to fly out to India as with nine squadron as part of the Tiger Force, intending to bomb Japan from the Isle of Okinawa, where the Americans had made two runways, one for them and one for us. Anyway, it got postponed night after night. We went for a few drinks into Lincoln, came back, and the whole station was alight. He said, "What's up?" He said, "You're taken off at 4 o'clock, and this was about 12 o'clock. So we packed all our gear, pouring with rain, and flew off to Tobruk, then to Cairo, then Karachi, and then down to a place called Digri, just outside of Calcutta. And we were there for a few months practicing different types of bombing and that with 9 Squadron. And of course, the Japs surrendered, so we came back. We landed at St Morgan, and we were given a rail pass and 4 days to get back to Waddington. And that was the end of our crew as a unit flying. I was posted to Woodbridge in Suffolk, where I found myself as a warrant officer looking after, with 12 men, 300 Polish chaps who were waiting to go home. And I'd only stayed there about 6 months, and I was posted to RAF in Germany, Bad Elsen, and stayed out there for just over a year at the signals headquarters. But to me, the experiences that I had before and the company with friends was just a holiday, really, because I was very active in running and football and cricket, and that's what I toured around with the RAF team, and we won the RAF Inter Services, well, the British Forces Inter Services football match at Cologne Stadium. Again, as a highlight, because it was the Army that was going to win the final. They had every Army person there, senior level, and we beat them. And the whole reception afterwards went down like a lead balloon. Right, Laurie Davis, otherwise Red, from there, from the 619 Squadron. When I left the Germany in November of 47, I've kept in touch with various groups through my son, and until this year, I've done 6 marches at the Cenotaph on Armistice Day, but this year there was insufficient members to march, so they didn't lay a wreath on behalf of Bomber Command. But on the 31st of October, I meet up with the squadron, and adjoining that group is a bomb aimer, Joe Dutton. He's treasurer and secretary of 619, and we meet there and have a meal, and go over and have a look at the statue and lay a wreath. And it always amazes me that people that look at it and say, "Why are people raising their hand above their eyes?" And I've said to several, when you came back off a raid 3-4 o'clock in the morning, left your aircraft and waiting in the lay-by, waiting to be picked up to go for debriefing, and then you hear in the darkness another flight coming in, and you just automatically put your hand up to look, see, "Oh, I wonder who this has made back again with us." And that's it. And that is the feeling that goes on, that you were lucky, and you respect the fact that you've made it back. And I was talking to Joe Dutton only in October that I think I said to him, "Well, if we weren't going on a raid tonight, we'd probably go into the village and have a drink." And I said, "Here it is, it's 71 years ago. And we're lucky to be able to do that." But that just mentioning, people often said, "Didn't you feel anything of bombing the targets?" And I go back to 15 and a half years of age, in Portsmouth, when they had the biggest raid, 10th of January 1941, fire watching with my dad outside the house, and experienced this whistle and continuous whistle and getting closer and closer Little did I know that it was a bomb, and then everything went black, covered in dust, and our house had disappeared. And that, for me, thinks not apportioning blame, but they did start it. And Plymouth and London and Portsmouth and Southampton. But it's one of those, and I'm very grateful and fortunate to have gone through the friendship and association through it with that crew. Yeah.
On behalf of the International Bomber Command, I'd like to thank Laurie Davis at his home in Portsmouth for his recording, or otherwise known as Red. May he travel on well. Thank you very much.